Okay, Shavuot Tov, everyone. We're holding today on Masechet Pesachim, Dav Zayin, and we're holding on Vav Amud Beis at a very exciting sugya. So, as I mentioned to you before Shabbos, we started off by recognizing we've already explained why it is that somebody who is Mevatel has to be Bodek. Now, it was basically Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Is it a Chashash? You're going to come to eat it? Or is it a Chashash that we just don't know that everybody's capable of really understanding what type of conscious act is required in Bittul? So because of that, we said, okay, I'm Mevatel Tzorach Shivdok. Now we're on the other end. Why is a Bodek Tzorach Shivato? My time. So Inei Mei Bishul Pirurim. So again, one approach is, look, you know, there's a lot of crumbs, and if you're going to be Bodek, you're probably not going to get all the crumbs. Who cares about crumbs anyway? Even if you had crumbs in your house over Pesach, you're not interested in having crumbs. So anyway, they're considered to be hefker. And what would be the difference? This, by the way, is clear indication that it's a little bit ridiculous. People go crazy over the bedik of crumbs and cleaning crumbs and so on, getting every last crumb. You know, and the women, they actually sandpaper the floor and the walls and so on. So those things are considered to be bought. Okay. So that's not the reason. So you'll say, well, but they're not bato because look, he came up giving them into like agav beitim. Look, aren't you watching your home? So if you're watching your home, then anything in the home, it can't be called hefker, it can't be called ownerless. I mean, isn't it because it's in your home, isn't it ipso facto? You've got an alarm on and everything. I mean, doesn't that make it by definition part of what you own? No, because actually there's a brisa that talks about exactly that issue. Suppose you have sofei te'enim. There's always like figs at the end of the season that are going to be on the trees. You don't really care about those. But let's say that you're meshamer sadeo mipnei anavim. You have in this same field, you have grapes. And the grapes are growing now after the end of the fig season, right? So you're watching the field because of the grapes. What's the din of the sofei te'enim? Or the Sofei Anavim. How about the other way? How about the grapes are season's over? You got a few grapes that are like still on the vines, and you are being careful because, I mean, Halloween is coming up. You got to make sure you got all your pumpkins. So you're watching the field because of the pumpkins. So Mishamar said, they don't mipnei mikshaot, mipnei bidlaot. You got squash and various pumpkins, gourds. So then the halacha is like this. Bizman shabalabayit makpid aleihem. If the balabayit bedavka wants to keep an eye on the leftover figs or on the leftover grapes, then of course it's a suri mishum gezel. And not only that, since they're not considered to be hefker, they're also chayav and meiser. But suppose the balabayit doesn't care, then the fact that you happen to be watching them for other purposes, then there's no iser of gezel because the watching for pumpkins doesn't make the grapes not hefker. Doesn't make the figs not hefker. And if you actually take them and eat them, you don't need to take off meiser because they're hefker. So you see from there that the fact that something is being watched because of something else doesn't make it part of the chashivas of what's in the house. So that can't be the answer. So why do we really worry about your needing to do a bittul if anyway you look for your chametz? Amar Rava. We're afraid that you're going to find like this beautiful piece of chametz, and you will be like thinking, oh, God, I can't believe it. Got to burn this gorgeous cake that I had forgotten about. And oh my gosh, it's beautiful. Horrible thing to have to go burn a beautiful cake like this. So for that moment, your das is on it now. What do we mean your das is on it? Okay, so Rashi says your das is on it in the sense that you're saying to yourself, what a shame to burn this. So then you hesitate about the burning. And therefore, for that moment, since you had never been mevatel it, at that moment, you will be over on bayira bayimot. Masha enken, if you already mevatel it before, then you won't be over on Bayira Bayimatzah. So this raises a lot of questions. Okay, so some of the Achron, first of all, Tosfos says that this doesn't make sense, the Daita Iluye. The Daita Iluye, I think, says Tosfos, only means that since you are thinking about it, it's not batel the same way that crumbs would be batel because you're not really thinking about chametz. You don't care about chametz. That's what the point is, that if your das is on it, so then it's not going to be just batel because you don't care. Because otherwise, even a nice cake should be the same thing as crumbs. Basically, you don't want chametz, you're not interested in chametz. So then it's hefker anyway. So why would you have to be mevatel it? So according to Tosfos, the point is because since for that moment you'll hesitate, so then it's not going to, it doesn't even matter that moment. I'm sorry, that's really the momentary issue is Rashi. But the point in Tosfos is that since in the instant that it's found, it isn't immediately automatically batel because you care about it, so therefore you need to be mevatel it before. Now, the Achronim ask, what difference does that make? Even if you were mevatel it, wouldn't you be over again because it's no longer batel? Isn't the bittel a state of mind that requires you to maintain that state of mind? And so what would be the meaning of saying that just because now you mevatel it before, therefore now all of a sudden that's okay and I don't have to worry about it? I mean, isn't that the same thing? So, look, there are a lot of discussions on this. I don't think they're meaningful discussions at all. Rashi is simply pointing out that the idea is, and he says this very clearly, he will be hesitant to burn it. That's all he says. Tosis points out that if he's hesitant to burn it, Tosis doesn't ask that. Tosis says if he died to Eluye, means he likes it. So why does the Gemara ask, well, couldn't he just be mevatel it at that moment? Why does the Gemara ask such a stupid question, says Tosfos, if his daito is on it, right? So that's one of the reasons he doesn't agree with Rashi. But the point is that that question explains the Rashi. Obviously, the fact that daito iluye, and he's going to hesitate an instant before burning it, doesn't mean that he wants to be re-kine it or anything like that. That's silly. All it means is that unless it was batel, it isn't automatically batel. And therefore, we've got a problem. The fact that I was cleaning everything beforehand, that ought to have been enough, if not for the fact that I hesitated for a minute to burn it. So for that minute that I hesitated, at that moment, if I hadn't been mevatel it before, I would be over on Bayirah Bayimatzer, which is very, very logical. In other words, as long as I do everything that I can do to get rid of my chametz, I'm not going to be over, as the Ron pointed out. The Torah is somech on best efforts. That's a chazaka. If I did my best, so fine. So you have a right to assume that there's nothing there. That's a din in the Torah. It's a din like rov, chazaka. We don't say, oh, look at this. You know, the rov was that you were allowed to be somech on the rov, but you ended up eating iser. It's not what we're going to say. So the Torah said, this is what I'm allowed to do. Same thing is true over here. The only reason that there would be a problem is if I no longer do my best efforts. So what would make me no longer do my best efforts? An instant hesitation. That instant hesitation is what makes the difference. Oh, shoot, what a beautiful piece of cake. I can't believe it. Now, he's not even thinking about wanting to keep it. He's not even thinking about eating it. That's not the point. He simply feels bad about burning it, right? It's like, whoa, what a shame. That's all. And that what a shame is the issue. This shot by Rashi is so beautiful that it's a shame that not everybody goes along with it. Because if you take a look in the way that the Torah brings the halacha, it's terrible. Because he seems to ignore the Gemara. This is the lashon of the Torah. Acher habadika yivatlenu. Why? Because tahashta afilo im nishar b'bayit chamet shelo matza eino over alav. You imagine? The Torah is saying, go ahead and do the bittel, because that way, if you do a bittel before, even if it turned out that you left behind chametz that you didn't know about, you won't be over. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the reason is Shema Yim Segulus Kayafa. What is he talking about? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you be over? If, in fact, you did a best effort job, so why would you be over in the event that you left something behind? And if we're chayshish that you won't do a best effort, so then that's what the Gemara should have said. Why does the Gemara say Shema Yimtzei Gluska Yafa? I mean, this makes absolutely no sense, right? I mean, and there's even this Amogen Avram that says, the im lo bitlo over alav afo pishelo yada, because it's the same thing as eating chalev b'shogeg. You didn't mean to eat the chalev, okay, you didn't mean to leave the chametz, but how does that change anything? Again, I mean, that doesn't make any sense, because over here, what you did is what you were supposed to do. Mashain came by the case where you didn't know that this was chalev and you ate it. I mean, that's obviously a completely different situation. You should have known. Let me just turn on a light. This is a little bit dark here. Okay. All right. So, I mean, the question over here is, how does the Torah ignore the Gemara? So what is possible is that there's a third approach here. That's the Rambam's approach. With the Rambam, I'm taking a lot of time for this because, after all, this is the yesod of Bedikas Chametz. We can't afford to ignore these possibilities. I mean, it's what the whole perek is about. So the Rambam's approach is, in the Gluski Yof, is very, very different. Because what he says is like this, v'kishegeimer, livdok, etc., etc., tzorech levatel. And the point is that mishesh'ot v'lamal, if it's too late, if he would be motze chometz, and here's the crucial words that he inserts, u'motze chometz shahaya da'ato alav, v'haya b'libo v'shachacho b'shata b'yur v'lo b'yaro hareza over al-bar yira'en. So in other words, clearly, Shema Yimtze Gluska Yofa, according to the Rambam, means that maybe he will find that cake that he had in mind the whole time, where he said, okay, I don't want the kids walking around the house with this cake. I'm going to put this cake into this cabinet, right? And then he forgets. And then, oh my God, he might find that Gluska Yofa, which wasn't Bato Me'atzbo, and the one that was Daita Elui Mitchila. And then the moment that he finds it, indeed, he's going to be over. Mishum bayirah bayimatze. Because at that point, it's already, if he had forgotten about it and he had done whatever he thought he needed to do, fine. But once the moment that he finds it, now it's sticking out there that like a sore thumb. That is apparently the way the Rambam learns. And if that's the point, then that's obviously what the Torah must be saying, because otherwise he would be ignoring the Gemara. Okay, so we've got basically three different approaches to the Shema Yimtze Gluska Yafa. And the idea over here, again, is best, and I want to point out to you, that when the Gemara said Mishum Pirurim, which seems to back up the Torah, right? If it wouldn't be for the fact that the Pirurim were potel on their own, so then just because I did everything as best I could wouldn't matter, because I missed the crumbs. That's what the Gemara seemed to have been saying over there. And the only way out of that was, it doesn't matter if you miss the crumbs. But if it's a good piece, then it would matter, right? But the point is that over there, the way Rashi understands that is that the crumbs, you can't do a good job on. That's the point. There's no way that you're going to get every crumb out of the house. So therefore, if you're telling me that the issue is I must get rid of crumbs, and I know that I couldn't possibly have got rid of every single crumb, so then I would have had to been mevatel. And this way, I have one mitzvah to get rid of the pieces that I can get rid of. But enochinami, that's not enough to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbir so completely, because I won't be able to get rid of the crumbs. So because of that, I need to be mevatel. That was the Gemara's havamina, ilei mishum pirurim. But it certainly doesn't back the Torah that if, in fact, you would have lost this piece, this gluski yafa, that then you would, in fact, be chayev because there's something that you did your best and then you didn't get rid of it. Okay, anyway, ask the Gemara, what is the problem exactly? If, and this is what I mentioned to you before, Tosis is bothered by, what's the problem? If you find it at that moment, why can't you be mevatel at that moment? Why exactly would there be a problem? So Tosis says, what do you mean? That's a stupid question. If you just said Daita Eluye, so then you won't be mevatel it. So as I pointed out to you, Rashi never says Daita Eluye Bichlal, that you want to keep it? It just says, Daite Elohim v'chosala, he feels bad burning it. But obviously, the moment he sees it, he again has to do his best effort. Ask the Gemara, why isn't your best effort to immediately say, oh, that's chometz, I don't want it. And that you could do, that Daite Elohim is that you're not going to hesitate to do that. Why would you hesitate to do that? So it's the same thing that people believe you can't put on a beged without tzitzis, because you'll be over on the mitzvahs aseh. That's not true. You put on the beged and then you put on the tzitzis. Once you wear the beged, the Torah is mechayev you to know how to put on the tzitzis. You found your chometz and get rid of it. It's not going to be an iser if you're doing what you need to do. So therefore, go ahead and be mevatel at the moment that you find it. Why do you have to be mevatel at the night before? As the Gemara, because it depends when you find it. Dilma mashkachas and lebatar isur. This is a very important point to get to understand. We're concerned that you'll find it after it becomes aser bahana. And if it becomes aser bahana, it is no longer yours because you don't have any rights to it. And therefore, the only right that you have to it is the right to be over on bayira bayimatze, exactly the same as digging a hole in Rishu Zarabim, which, as we said, Shnei Dvarim Enam Bereshus HaShalom, and the Torah gives it to the Adam as if it's Bereshuso. So what is that? What do you think that means? That the Torah gave you the bor to be chayev on, and therefore I was now Kona the bor, and I can now build myself an underground shelter in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, and if the city comes and tries to take it away from me, I'll tell them, get out of here, this is mine, the Torah gave it to me. Obviously not. Then the same thing is true over here. It remains Aser Ba'ana'ah. I don't have any legal rights to it. My legal right to it is the fact that I'm going to be over on Bayir Rav Bayir Matzeh. So therefore, I will not be able to be mevatel it because my consciousness cannot impinge upon something that isn't mine. It doesn't extend to other things. It's the same idea as a person cannot aser something on somebody else. It's the same exact idea. My things are my things. I cannot influence it by how I think about it unless it's mine. So therefore, since Rabbi Elazar said, Shnei dvarim enan bereshuto shel adam, v'yasa ana katuv ki'ilu bereshuto. So we have these two things that we treat them as if they are yours, but they are not yours for legal purposes that are affected by ownership. V'elu hein bor bereshut harabim, and chometz from after the sheish sha'ot v'lamala. So because of that, what if you find it after the sheish sha'ot? And if you find it after the sheish sha'ot, so then you're messed up because it's too late to be mevatel. You may hesitate an instant if it's a glus k'yofa before dumping it in the toilet or burning it up. And so because of that, you're going to be over for that minute. Okay, still, you haven't explained to me why I have to be mevatel the night before, did you? I mean, can I be mevatel in the morning, like at the fourth hour, or the fifth hour, before the sixth hour, right? I mean, there's no problem there. But that's because there's no specific time. The Chachamim always want to give you a specific time, so you have a trigger to do it. So, Kivan de Lavas Manisura, look, the fourth or fifth hour is not the time that it becomes usher. And it's also not this amount of biur. I haven't started burning it. So then maybe I will, in fact, forget, and I'll end up not being mevatelit, and then it'll be too late. And, oh, heck, I forgot to be mevatel my chometz. Okay, fine. So then be mevatelit when it is the shas habiur. When is the shas habiur? The beginning of the sixth hour, right? So it doesn't become aser ba'anah min ha-teira until the beginning of the seventh hour, the end of the sixth hour, which is noon. So why can't I do it that? If everybody's going, okay, everybody, hold on. We got to go burn our chametz now because at this point it's already aser b'achila and aser b'anah. And up until this time we were being tailin, lo sarfin. Now we're going to burn it. So it's more because it'll still be too late. Because kiven di sura derabonan iluya, kidiyaraita damya, v'lo matzi mevato. Even though you're telling me, I mean, look, I'm only interested in avoiding the Isser Bayiroa Bayimatze, which is an Isser Diaraisa. As far as the Torah is concerned, it's still mine, 100%, right? It doesn't become Usser Ba'na until after the sixth hour. That means noon, the beginning of the seventh hour. So this is a great time. I'm going to go burn it. So the moment I go out of my house to go burn it, I'll be mevatel it. And that way, it'll still be before the seventh hour. But since the Rabbonan asked it b'hana'a an hour before, that is the equivalent of the Isser D'oraisa. Why? Because since there's a halacha that Beis Din has the right to define your legal ownership, which is called Hefker Beis Din Hefker, then what that means is that if they define something as being Usser Bahana'a, essentially they are saying you don't own it. You say, okay, well, if I choose to ignore them, I own it. Not true. Because part of the Kayach of Beis Din is to define what ownership could mean. And since over here they're saying it's Usser Bahana'a, they have defined it as being valueless. Tough on you. That's the point. And therefore, lo motzi mevatel. And we know that that's true because the Amr of Gidol, Amr of Chibar Yosef, Amr Rab. Let's say somebody wants a really cheapo job on marriage, you know? So, I mean, he's always wanted to marry this girl, but he sure isn't going to spend a pruta on it. But now it's Erev Pesach, so now he's got to burn his chametz anyway. So he figures, oh my God, in another hour, this is not going to be worth a penny, and I have to go burn it. I know what I'll do. I'll use this chametz, which is Usser Ba'anah, but which is not still Midiraisa, it's Mutter, so it must be mine, and it, therefore it's considered to have value, and I'll give it to this girl, and I'll tell her Ariat Mekudeshetli. Ha ha! Didn't cost me a penny. It's no good. Even if you used the chite kurdenaisa, it doesn't matter. You can use this extremely expensive kurdenaisa, means Kurdistan. So it's Kurdistani wheat. And that wheat does not become chometz very easily, but because it's very, very tough. But the point is, even so, we consider it to be chometz at this point. And even if you use that, it's not even a chashash that the kedushin is kosher because he does not own the chometz and it doesn't have any kind of value, assuming that obviously it had been exposed to water. And it's not, because of that, it's not considered to be a kedushin. So you see that even midrabbanan, once you reach that time, it's not worth anything. So then you can't be mevatalit. To say, okay, so be mevatalit before, what would be the specific moment that would trigger, I need a catalyst in order for me to say, okay, now is the time I have to do it. So if the catalyst is the sreifa, it's too late. If it's before that, it's not it's not considered to be a bichlal, a moment that would remind me. As far as Moshe is asking why we have to say kol demekadesh hadaitid rabbonu mekadesh, that's a very good question. It would mean that if a person chooses to interrelate with an individual, let's say both he and the girl are not frum, right? And so she's going to blamaisa eat this wheat. They don't care about rabbonans. They're dati light. So, okay, so he doesn't care about the rabbonan either. So for all intents and purposes, I mean, she can go into the market and sell this for money, and she does. She goes and she sells the chita kordanaisa. She makes 2,000 shekel on it. And it was a nice, beautiful kedushin. It still won't make any difference. That's the point. Because kedushin, no matter what you are, no matter where are you, no matter where you are, the fact is that kedushin are defined by what the rabbanon call kedushin, and that's part of the inyan. And we'll get to when we get to kedushin. But that the interrelationship that we call kedushin is not really defined by the Torah. It's defined by the context of what kedushin means. And that is entirely an interrelationshipal question. But wait, is it true that you can't be mevatel chometz if it's after the sixth hour? It says in a braita, if a guy is sitting in the Beis HaMedrash and he's in the middle of shir, and now he remembers, oh my gosh, I had put up that dough to bake matzahs, I forgot to put the matzahs in the matzah oven. So I better get there before it turns into chometz. In those days, they hadn't heard about the 18-minute thing and so on, you know. I better get home fast and throw it out before it turns into chometz, or cook it before it becomes chometz. How am I going to walk out of shir in the middle of shir? I can't walk out in the middle of shir. Oh, my God. So no problem, it says. Now, this is the way it's going to end up meaning. Right now, the Gemara thinks that it means that he actually has chometz in his house, and he's thinking, oh, my God, I have chometz in my house, and I better run and get rid of my chometz. Nah, you don't have to run to get rid of your chametz. You can be mevatel the chametz. That's what we thought it meant. Which obviously doesn't make any sense. So he should be mevatel at Belibo. And this is true whether it's Shabbos or it's Yontif. Now, I mean, it could be Shabbos on Erev Pesach, but it's hard to be Yontif on Erev Pesach, right? So if it's Yontif, it's a little bit too late to be mevatel. And it says over here, you can go ahead and be mevatel it. So I understand Shabbos makes sense. Like it could come out on Erev Pesach, but Yontif, how did Yontif come out on Erev Yontif? So isn't it after the Zman of Iser by definition if it's already Yontif? So isn't it a little bit too late for him to go and be Mevatel his Chometz? So apparently you can be Mevatel your Chometz even in the middle of Yontif. Of course, that's not the case. The case is that he left the dough and it wasn't yet Chometz. And he had left the Iser Megugelet Vetov Beto and he meant to put it into the oven and he forgot. Now he's afraid, oh my gosh, by the time I get home, it's going to be Chometz. So therefore, he's able to be mevatel it now before it becomes chametz. Then it's still in his rishos. So you could be mevatel something that is about to be chametz during Yontif. You just can't be mevatel if it already is chametz. So this is no problem. And by the way, I mean, what do you think it meant? How did you explain to yourself that it's the guy is sitting in the Beis HaMedrash? If he wasn't sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, he also wouldn't have had a breira. What was he supposed to do exactly? It's talking about that it's already Yontif. So what in the world is he going to do? If we're talking about it was already Chometz, then the most that whatever he could do, he doesn't have any other options. He's not able on Shabbos. He's not going to be able to burn it and so on. So what do you want him to do? So obviously what we're talking about over here is there is no problem if he was at home. It only becomes a problem because he's not at home. Meanwhile, it's being megala to you not to leave shear in the middle. I mean, because otherwise we could say, what if he's just on the road or something, right? Okay. Daikanami. So diktani, since it says, Ayoshe betoch beis hamidrash, shma minos, you see that is the reason that we're saying he should be mevatel it, but otherwise you should go home and take care of it, obviously. Omar Rabba baravuna omar rab. Very strange case over here. Apache Ipsha, I found a piece of bread on Pesach, but I can't remember. In those days, the chometz and the matzah looked exactly the same, like pitot. Nobody made the Ashkenazi matzah. So I have no idea whether what I'm looking at is a piece of bread, whether I'm looking at it as a piece of matzah, but it looks like really moldy. So I'm wondering, like, it's very suspicious if it's so moldy, how exactly did it get so moldy? So the idea is over there, given shirapta matzah, if you've got a more matzah in that box, so then it's not a problem. And then it's muteret. So we're saying that we go according to the rov. That's what it looks like. So we're assuming that this is also matzah, which makes no sense, as the Gemara points out, echidami. You're saying what you're looking at. Do you know that what you're looking at is bread? So what difference does it make how much matzah there is? Chometz doesn't become batel on Pesach. Okay. So kirovsa matzah mayavi. What's the difference? And anyway, it's not batel. Even if it would be batel, it wouldn't be batel because you can identify which piece it is. It's ridiculous. So ela deloyadina I chometzu I matzu. So what are you saying? You have a piece and you're not sure whether it's chometz or matzah. What's the difference how much matzah is in the box? You have a piece of bread that you're saying you don't know. How does it help that you got a lot of matzah? So, I mean, even afilkilorovsa matzah, nezobasar basra. So first of all, what does rov have to do with it? The klal is always go according to the latest usage of what is there. I'll prove it to you. Milo Tanan, look, we've got this Mishnah in Shkolim. David, yes. We've got this Mishnah in Shkolim that talks about monies that are found in different places and what the assumptive nature of the money is. So fine. If I find money in front of a store where they're selling animals, so then the halacha is that money is certainly going to be assumed that it's coming from Meiser Sheni money, because people people that come up to Yerushalayim, that's one of the main purposes that they come up to Yerushalayim, is that they take Meiser Sheni, and they use it to buy the things that they need to buy in Yerushalayim. So because of that, and even the money that they have, money that they're spending around, everybody understands that it's all going to be, that's what you're going to use for food. That's what you're going to use for food. That's what we're going to use for bringing korbanos. And because of that, you have to assume that the money that's here at dealerships is my Zersheni money. That's the money that I want to bring up to Yerushalayim. Baharabayit. You find something in a harabayit. So over there, everybody comes up. But once I'm coming into the harabayit itself, so that's considered to be chulin. Because why in the world should we assume that it in the harabayit it's considered to be? Why would it be meiser in harabayit? This could be from any time at all. So we go according to the rov. It's not the people that are coming up specifically now. If you find it in other places in Yerushalayim, it depends. If it's during the Shas HaRegel, where we've got so many people coming up, and they're bringing all their Meiser money, Meiser Sheni money, so then it's Meiser. B'shar Yemot HaShana, it's Chulin. So what is the difference? Amar Rav Shmaya Bar Zera, my time, why is it different when you find it in Yerushalayim during the period of the Regel, that it's Meiser Sheni? Aren't there people there that are 90% of the time is not during the Regel? So why don't we just look at the Rov? Because, oh, v'shukei Yerushalayim, asuyim litchabed b'chol yom. The shukim in Yerushalayim were cleaned out every single day. That was part of the covenant of Yerushalayim. They did not allow things to be muddy, dirty, and so on. And therefore, whatever is here from now. So Al-Marina Kamoy Kamoy Azlele, apparently we can rely on the fact that everything that was here from before is gone. And the money that's here must be now money that was dropped today. So, I mean, I should certainly assume that if somebody did a Bedikas Chometz and he spent a week beforehand cleaning, that there was not bread inside this box. So what's the problem? All the bread is gone. Why did I know? And now that I have today's stuff, it must be matzah. I mean, everything is matzah now, right? Of course. But why do you think that the case is a case of moldy bread? That's the problem over here. We have something that is causing us to be very suspicious. Ipusha mulchiachalel. Look, the amount of mold proves that it's got to have been around for a while. So obviously it isn't from just now. You know, you're driving me crazy. I mean, if that's the case, so then that's your answer. So then it's bread. Who cares how much matzah there is? I'm back to the same thing. I don't understand what you're saying. So ki rovta matzah. So now all of a sudden we're going to rove if we know that it's bread? Yes or no? Omar Rabbi. It doesn't mean that you have matzah. It means you have a lot of days that you've been using matzah. And therefore, it's not the first day of Pesach. It's the fifth day of Pesach. So maybe it is matzah that got moldy. Oh, my God. So then we're back to what we said before. So then I don't understand. So then the mold is not an issue. So then we're supposed to be going according to the new usage. Make up your mind. So then you're kipshita. Obviously, it's going to be mutter if that's what it means. Okay, true. But the question over here is like this. This piece of bread is not only moldy. It is absolutely Fleming moldy. It's covered with penicillin. It's a discovery for the ages. Now you're thinking to yourself, how the heck did this matzah get this moldy in just these few days? That's the point. So I might have thought that since it's so moldy, so obviously it's chametz, therefore it comes to tell me that since there's been a lot of days that I've used matzah. Now here's the point. It's not that I'm stupid. I'm trying to tell you that since every day you put in fresh matzah into this box, when you put fresh matzah over an older matzah, the warmth and the moisture encourages the growth of mold. That's all we're saying. So don't worry about the fact that you've got a lot of mold. That's all that it's saying. It's trying to give you some practical guidance. Whew, man. But anyway, you mentioned that we always go according to like the most recent use. Is that true? Miaslinam basar basar. What about the brisa that says like this? You have a box, okay? And this is a box that you use for Moes Chulin and Moes Meiser, and you don't remember like what is in there, and you find money in there, right? So now, im rov chulin chulin. So with most of the coins that you put in, and we're talking about in general during the year. I mean, that's what seems to move. So then you can assume it's chulin. If most of the money that you put in this box are miser, then you have to assume that it's miser. Why? Why don't we just look at your most recent usage? Omer Nachman Bar Yitzchak, look, and we're talking about it was used for both kinds of monies, and I can't remember what the last one used. That's all. So then it's saying that you can go bus a rove. Rav Zvit said, no, that's not what it means. If it's talking about rove, then what it's talking about is that there is no reason. What this is talking about is a case where you've got a large box, and you put in different piles of money. So on the right-hand side, you put your chulin money. Left-hand side, you put your most meiser money. And that's what it's saying. So then you can be shamik, like on any case, what it's called the parish, miruba kaparish. That's all that it's saying. Rav Papa says, no, that's not what it's saying. It's talking about that you found it in a guma, meaning that it was trapped in the edge of the box. Since it was trapped in the edge of the box, you can no longer assume that we should go basra basra. Because where do we go basra basra? Where we know that I cleaned out the box. But if it's trapped, I may have simply missed it. That's the point. And that's what it's coming to tell me over here. Next, Omer Rav Yehuda. Habodek tzarich shiyevorech. What bracha does he make? So Rav Papi Omer Mishmei Derava, the bracha that he makes is Sher Kedeshono b'mitzvotav etzivanu leva'er chametz. So that I should get rid of all my chametz. Rav Papa Amar Shmei D'Rav, you don't say leva'er, you say al bi'ur chametz. So you're supposed to make the bracha before you do it, right? So if that's the case, what are we discussing over here? Obviously, to say leva'er chametz means I have a mitzvah to get rid of my chametz, which is what I'm about to do. Okay, that's for sure good. I mean, if you say Leva'er, so for sure that means what I am about to do. They're only arguing about whether you say Al Biur Chametz. So one man, the Omar, says Al Biur, that's Rif Papi, seems Be'ikr to be referring to what I did. Al Biur Chametz on the Biur of Chametz that we just took care of. But I mean, I'm about to take care of it, not just took care of. So don't say al biur chametz, because we don't want to talk about what was. We want to talk about what will be. Whereas Rav Papa holds, Mar Savar, that no, actually, it is just as mashma that it's talking about the future. Okay. So al biur, we're assuming now, means is good enough. But you could certainly say liva'er. Ask the Gemara on Rav Papi is that you have to say Leva'er, and you cannot say Al Biur. How about when you're about to do a Brit Milah, and it says there, what bracha do you make on a Brit Milah? Asher kedeshano b'mitzvotav etzivanu Al HaMilah. How can you say Al HaMilah? You should say Lamul, right? So you see that, according to Rav Papi, you don't have to say, he's claiming you have to say Lamul, and here it says you say Alamila. Well, what do you expect him to say? Remember that we're not saying that it can't possibly mean that. I mean, obviously it can mean that. You're just saying what, again, is the presumptive meaning, right? So what do you expect the guy saying the Mila? I have a mitzvah Lamul? I don't have a mitzvah Lamul. I'm a male. Why do I have a mitzvah Lamul? The father called me up. He's paying me $100 to go ahead and do the Mila. How can I say that I have a mitzvah lamul? It isn't true. The father has the mitzvah lamul. So therefore, all I can say is, look, Mila is a mitzvah. You commanded us on that mitzvah, and I'm about to do that mitzvah. But it isn't my personal chiyuv to be lamul. Okay, so, and what about if the father does it? So Aviyah Ben, what are you going to say about that? How come the Aviyah Ben is supposed to say Al HaMila according to Rav Papi? Says the Gemara, he's not. According to Rav Papi, the father does not say the same bracha. He should say Lamul. When we said say Alamila, that was talking about other people. So according to me, Enochinami. Okay, what about this? Baruch Hashem Kedeshanu Mitzvot Zivano Al Hashchita. Why don't we say Lishchot according to you, Rav Papi? Because it's the same thing. What do you mean Lishchot? I have a mitzvah Lishchot? What have a mitzvah Lishchot? I mean, if somebody wants to eat it, he could check it. Anybody could check it. I mean, what do you mean, lishchot? There's no, you never have a mitzvah that you're the one that has to come here and check the animal. It's a mitzvah if you want to eat an animal. The shechita should have taken place. So I'm saying ala shechita, same thing. Yeah, so what are you going to do when you're shechting your carbon Pesach? So Pesach v'kachim, ma'ikala me'mar, according to Rav Papi, enoch inami, says Rav Papi. If you're going and you're shechting your carbon Pesach, then you have to say lishchot, not ala shechita. Ha. Huh. Okay, what about this? Here we're talking about the dinim of lulav and of sukkah. So there are always said lulav le'atzma, when you make the lulav, you're mechaber all of the minim together, and it's before the actual chag, you're getting it all ready, that's the moment that you could say shechiyanu. Today we don't do this, but in those days they used to say shechiyanu when you were already preparing the mitzvah. So okay, so you say shechiyanu v'kimonu v'kiyonu l'zbanazeh. When you take it to be yotzei, you say asher k'dashanu v'savet zivanu al netilat lulav. Why do you say al netilat lulav, Rav Papi? You should say litol lulav. So this doesn't make sense, alibet Rav Papi. No, it's different over there. You know why? Because even alibet Rav Papi, when you picked up the lulav and esrog, the truth is you were already yotzei at the moment that you picked them up. So now you're about to do your mitzvah with it. You're going to shake your lulav and esrog and something. You can't say litol lulav. It really is over here. You're in the middle because you already picked it up, and now you're in the middle of the mitzvah. You say, okay, even what I did before. So to be either the agba or nafek pay, the moment that I picked it up. So basically, I lifted them. Note that it says. In other words, just holding them is not yet, but I lifted them. So, okay. So if that's the case, I was already yotzei. And therefore, we say it in this way. So how can you still say it? Says Tosis, you can still say it because I'm still being Isaac in the mitzvah. Enoch inami, if I had already put it down and so on, then it's too late. I missed the mitzvah. Fine. So if it's too far away, I don't make the mitzvah. I don't make a bracha, right? I don't make a bracha unless I'm able to do it right away. So because of that, you'll say, all right, so make the bracha and then take your lulav and esrog out of the box, right? No, because then it's too far before to make the bracha. Okay, so this is the way we do it. All right, Lemaitza, as you know, the minig is to hold the esrog upside down, and that way you won't be mekayim the mitzvah before you make the bracha, because you're supposed to make the bracha before the mitzvah. And as we'll see, it doesn't make any difference for the girsa in the end, as we paskin at the end of the sugya. Says the Gemara, so then, if that's the case, if you were already yotzei, so then why does the Braisa say, latzeit, if you pick it up to be yotzei, then you make the bracha. That's mashmah, he hasn't yet picked it up. He hasn't been yotzei yet. He should say, yotzebo, if you were already yotzei. Inachinami. It's true, but it's confusing because then it's mashma that even if it would be completely yotzei, he had put it away, which isn't true. And the point is that since we want to say in the Sefer, we have the same continuation. What about a sukkah? So mishum dekaboy lemistah Sefer leishev basukkah. Tonarami, he wants to go into his sukkah to sit in it. So tonarishinami let's say it, because here's the Sefer. You made a sukkah for yourself. You go into your sukkah to sit down in it. You say, Baruch Hashem Kedushanu Tzavet Tzivanu, Leishev Basukkah. And therefore, we wanted to use the same lashon that we said over there. Lemaisa, what's the halacha? The halacha is Al Biur Chametz. Now, even though everybody was made, that certainly Liva Er Chametz is good. So why in the world wouldn't we just say what is good according to everybody? Why do we bedafka say the wrong thing according to some? And this is a sugya that we had back in Brochas. And you remember that the Ravid explained over there, and it was clear from the Gemara, that the point of a bracha is the perfection of the language, the chiddush in the language, not the simplicity of the language. So that it's more of a mitzvah to use the language in a bracha. We had this, the same thing, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, right? When it's for zahamotzi lechem min haaretz, we had the same discussion over there. So it's more of a mitzvah to utilize a chiddush in the lashon, in which it forces you to think, why did you say it that way? So that is better for the bracha than saying the more obvious lashon. And even though lamaisa, this way it's for sure good. Don't do what's for sure good. Do what's exciting. So that way you can rely on your chachma and show that you're a kind of person that is careful about what he does. Anyway, everybody is meida that you do have to make the bracha before you did the mitzvah, right? That we're taking for granted. The question is, does the bracha al mean even from before, or does it mean only after? And la definitely means before. Okay, so that is based on what? Minola. Yom Rav Yonah Mishmuel, kol ha-mitzvot mevorech aleihem over la-asiyata. You must make your bracha before the mitzvah is over. So we're saying a very strange word over here, over la-asiyata. I mean, we could have said kodem la-asiyata. So the idea over here actually relates to what we were just talking about. Why not make the mitzvah on the lulav and esrog while they're still in the box and you don't have to pick them up? That's the difference. If you would have said kodem la-asiyatan, so then enachinami, that would have been the mashma'ut that you could do that. Over la-asiyatan means as it is that you're passing by the asiyah, so that it has to be at that moment, right? That's why with your tefillin, you actually have your tefillin on your head, or you have your tefillin on your hand, and it's ready to be to get the knot in place, or it's ready to put the tefillin in the correct makom. That would be when you say it, not while it's still in the tik of the tefillin. How do we know, though, that you can use the word over to mean that? I mean, my mashmanai over lishna dagdumehu, and this, of course, is a gemara we've had many, many times. Omer of Nachum bar Yitzchak, the Omer Krav, Vayorod Tzachimatz, Derech HaKikar, Vayavor et HaKushi. So Achimatz ran ahead, and he wanted to give over the news, to which he thought was good news, that Avshalom was dead. And he ran, and he came before the Kushi, who had been sent. The runner, Achimatz, was fast enough to go and get around him and come first. Abaya Me'amar Mehocha, V'hu Over Lifnehem, in this coming week's Kriya. Now, Yaakov Avinu went in front. V'ibayit ema mihacha. V'yavor malkom lifnehem. V'ashem b'rosham. So that v'yavor clearly means to precede. Now, this is not always true, because in Rav's yeshiva, they said, this is not the fact when you're doing a tefillah shel mitzvah. And if you're doing tkiat shofar, then you should not do it before. What? I mean, tefillah, I understand. I mean, if this was, there's different ways of understanding this. If this is during the time that we were makbid on Takanas Ezra, that a balkari can't say a bracha, so then obviously if he's going into the mikveh because he's a balkari, he can't say the bracha before, so then he says the bracha afterwards. Okay, however, Lamaisa, Tosu says, it's talking about over here the tefillah of Gerim. So obviously, a ger cannot say Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvot Avetzivanu because he's not Jewish. So how can he say the bracha before? So therefore, after he goes into the mikveh, then he can say the bracha. But then, of course, the question is, but he never had that mitzvah. If at the time that he went into the mikveh, he was a goy, so what was the mitzvah? Did he have the mitzvah as a goy? Did Hashem command him as a goy? Okay, that's something to put in your pipe and smoke, because it has incredible implications about the process of giyur, right? Okay, amazing. Anyway, so that's how the Tosfos understands it. So now, Bishlam HaTfilah, I understand that before this point, he's not roi. So that's the question. Does this apply only to Tfilas Gerim? Does it apply only during the time of Takanas Ezra? Lamaisa, the Mefarshim say that once there's certain cases that we do it this way, so we're koveyat for all the cases. Others say, we're also afraid that you're going to be chicken, because when you put in your toesies, if the water is too cold, you may turn around. So therefore, we don't want you making the bracha until you're already in the mikveh, because who knows if you'll get your head under the water. And once again, I don't know if the gabbai of the Rebbe Shlita has tried out the Arizal's mikveh since he moved to the Tzfat. But you might get your toesies in. But the question is, can you get your head under the water? That's still a question. I don't know. Nowadays, they've already messed it up. But it used to be quite a challenge. because, you know, you were trying to catch your breath for 10 minutes. It was very, very hard to get under. All right. So anyway, that's tefillah. But how do we explain the point about kia shofar? I mean, and if you're going to tell me, because, well, you make a bruch on the shofar, you put the shofar to your lips, and then you go. And nothing comes out, so then it's going to be a bracha levatola. So we don't want you to make the bracha until we know that you've done it. So you can say the same thing about shchita. You can say the same thing about mila. I mean, maybe something will go wrong, you know, or maybe you won't have the guts to follow through or whatever it is. So then you shouldn't make a bracha. Therefore, that part must be wrong. Elam Rav Chista, what they said in the Beis HaMedrash of Rav was not the deal about tkia. They only said chutz min hatfila bovah. Tanya mi'achi, taval v'allah. Once you went into the mikveh, and then you got up, you took your head out of the mikveh, but aliyato amar, when you get out of the mikveh, then you say, asher k'desherem sabitzivano, al hatfila. Okay. So, tomorrow we will start trying to figure out why in the world we also, dafka in the Gemara, insist on using a candle. Where do we get the idea that you're supposed to use a candle? That we shall begin tomorrow.